This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation where if we are going to maintain our status, if we're going to maintain our strength, if most of all we're going to maintain our goodness as a country, we have some tests ahead. What are the four tests? Well, I'll tell you, that's the title of a very provocative new book by Ambassador Daniel Baer. Dr. Baer was a Deputy Assistant Secretary of State from 2009 to 2013. He was also U.S. Ambassador to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe from 2013 to 2017. He is a prolific writer and researcher and the author of a book due to be released in just a couple of days. It is called The Four Tests, What It Will Take to Keep America Strong and Good. Ambassador Baer, congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's terrific to be with you. And you put the four tests that you see that America is going to be facing. You give them names, designations. The names are scale, investment, fairness, and identity. Isn't there also a real test of belief or confidence, which I know that you write about, the confidence that America may end up, in the view of a lot of people, not being as strong as we were taught and not being as good as we have been taught. What do we need to do to address these four tests?
I mean, I think you're right. I mean, part of my motivation in writing the book, the deep motivation in writing the book, is that I worried that too many of us have become resigned to the idea that America is in some form of inexorable decline and can no longer lead in the world. And I think being resigned to that, many of us don't realize what the implications of that would be for American prosperity and security and for our children and grandchildren. But being resigned to that is a form of cynicism that I understand, because we do face a number of overwhelming challenges and we are going through a remarkable transition in world politics. But I think if you look at the choices that we have about how to respond to that, you know, in the end of the book, I say, what choice do we have but to try? Even if you don't believe that we can, what choice do we have but to try to avoid that situation? And I think part of the way that we refine confidence in America is by making America stronger. And the way that we make America stronger overlaps with making America better. And when I say better, I mean functioning better internally and also fairer and more just.
Okay, but what about people who say that any focus on the rest of the world, for instance, the very strong American focus recently on defending Ukraine against a brutal invasion, people who believe that preoccupation with the rest of the world, worrying too much about China or Taiwan, or who develops nuclear weapons where, or what happens with Iran or North Korea, that all of that takes us away from a situation where we have literally hundreds of thousands of homeless people on the streets. And there are people here in the United States who feel that the quality of life has been going down right here at home. How can we justify a serious concern and commitment to our place in the larger world when there are a lot of people who are concerned about what's happening in their own neighborhoods?
I have deep sympathy for the impulse when faced with a world that has become more complex, that where the challenges that the world faces seem to come home to us more often in scarier ways. I have deep sympathy for the impulse to kind of retreat to ourselves and wish the world away. But the world isn't going away. And actually, the United States remains extraordinarily powerful, has enormous advantages. But because of the rise of other countries, we are relatively less powerful than we were 20 years ago. And in a moment like that, it's engagement with the world, it's engagement and cooperation, taking a role as cooperator-in-chief rather than as the sole superpower that is going to keep us safe and prosperous in the long run. It is not a choice that we can make responsibly to say we're going to just pull back and pretend the world is going to go away. It's not going to go away. And if we don't support others in solving problems, those problems are going to come home to roost at home.
You mentioned, of course, and it's a theme in the book, that the United States is not the hegemon any longer that we once were, the dominant power in the whole world, that we have lost power relatively. Do you believe that Russia has gained power, or is right now the main concern China trying to overtake our role as the dominant power in the world?
I think the rise of China and the Chinese economy has much more to do with the relative decline of, say, U.S. economic weight in the world. But it's not only the rise of China. It's also the rise of a number of other states, India, Brazil, others, where the economies are developing. And by the way, there's a number of Americans who have made quite a lot of money off of the fact that there's economic growth elsewhere in the world. So this is not a bad news story overall. It does present challenges for the way that we navigate both economic relations abroad and political relations abroad going forward. As for Russia, I think right now, Russia is an enormously powerful destroyer, but Russia doesn't have a lot of power to build things. And the future will be owned by those who can build things. And obviously, Russia is exercising its destructive power with great effect right now, tragic effect right now. But the war that they have chosen in Ukraine, and it was a chosen war to violently and unjustifiably attack Ukraine, will end up being a huge strategic loss for Russia and will set Russia back decades, in my view.
Do you, what would be your message to the people who say we are wasting prodigious amounts of money on helping the Ukrainian nation survive and safeguard its independence?
I guess I would say two things. One is more kind of practical, which is I know that when people read headlines that says $1 billion of assistance is going to Ukraine's military, it can sound like what's happening is that we're dropping off bags of cash, but that's not at all what's happening. Actually, what's happening is that Americans working in factories across this country are building military equipment that is being delivered in Ukraine. That assistance is supporting American jobs, American innovation, American long-term military capacity. And so people should recognize that the bulk of the assistance that we're delivering right now is stuff that's made in America and supporting jobs here at home. It is not just a charitable transfer of bags of cash. So it's important that people understand that. More broadly, though, I think your question goes to the point of why do we care about protecting borders far away from us? And fundamentally, the answer is that if we don't protect borders far away from us, we're going to have to spend a lot more protecting our own borders. It is simply the case that the United States depends on there being rules that other countries observe in the world. And Russia is violating those rules. And if we don't hold Russia to account, if we don't support the victim in this fight, we will find that there will be many more fights like this, many more fights that imperil American economic interests abroad, and many more fights that make us less safe in the world, because the instability that those fights create can't be contained far across oceans. It will spread to us, whether that's because of the use of weapon systems that jeopardize our safety, or because other actors see the green light that we've given to violate those rules and then take action that impinges on our interests directly.
A wide-ranging and very provocative book that says we face tests of scale, investment, fairness, and identity. The name of the book, The Four Tests, What It Will Take to Keep America Strong and Good. Important messages from Ambassador Daniel Baer. Thank you for the time and for the clarion call. We will be right back.
Entertain your brain.
It's awesome.
Every day on The Michael Medved Show.
public resignation from the New York Times exposing bias and anti-Semitism shook the nation. She is the author of The Twitter Files, which exposed the orchestrated bias against conservatives in social media. On Friday, October 13th, joined featured speaker Barry Weiss at Washington Policy Center's annual dinner. WPC is your voice for market-based reforms. It exposed the new so-called excise tax on capital gains as an income tax, no matter what officials call it. And while the governor and cap-and-trade advocates promised minimal to no impact on gas prices, WPC warned it would raise the tax you pay on gas by approximately 45 cents a gallon. And WPC research showed the encroachment of critical race theory in Washington's classrooms. WPC provides the insight and analysis you need to stay informed and to act. Subscribe to WPC's free weekly newsletter and support improving our state with free market principles. October 13th in Bellevue at the Hyatt Regency. Ticket and sponsorship details at WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news. On the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Tremendous political excitement about an open Senate seat in Utah. Why? Because for Republicans, this is one of the safest Republican seats out there. I mean, Utah is a very strongly Republican state, but Mitt Romney had been obviously hesitating for months with speculation. He has now a new book coming out about him where apparently there are some revelations pertaining to President Trump and President Trump's relationship with his fellow Republicans, so that should be interesting. Does that have to do with Mitt Romney announcing yesterday that he would not run for re-election? By the way, I've seen on various websites they talk about Mitt Romney resigning. He's not resigning. He made a very big point that he's going to continue serving in the Senate for the rest of the term to which he was elected. That means he will be the United States Senator from the great state of Utah until January of next year. And the reason he announced it now is apparently because he does have this book coming out, which will generate a good deal of controversy. And there are people on the verge of having declared primary challenges to him. He was definitely going to have a complicated race to win re-election. But one of the things, I'm looking here at a list of Republicans who are probably going to run for that seat. Many of them would have challenged Romney, and he would have had the same kind of advantage, I hate to say it, that President Trump has in the larger party, which is lots and lots of people critical of Romney, and then there's Romney. And I think most political experts believe that, as Mitt Romney said yesterday, if he had wanted to win re-election, if he had chosen a second term in the Senate, he probably could have received it. He, by the way, is 76 years old. He's a little bit more than a year younger than President Trump. And of course, he's 4 years younger than President Biden. This was Mitt Romney speaking to reporters yesterday after he announced that he won't be seeking re-election, talking about his current position in the Republican Party.
Do you feel like this is a Republican Party that is beholden to former President Donald Trump?
Well, there's no question, but the Republican Party today is in the shadow of Donald Trump. He is the leader of the greatest portion of the Republican Party. It's a populist, I believe, demagogue portion of the party. Look, I represent a small wing of the party, if you will. I call it the wise wing of the Republican Party. And I don't believe we're going away. I think ultimately we'll see a resurgence and come back into leadership of the party. My wing of the party talks about policy and about issues that will make a difference to the lives of the American people. The Trump wing of the party talks about resentments of various kinds and getting even and settling scores and revisiting the 2020 election. What are the policies for the future? And my party is only going to be successful getting young people to vote for us if we're talking about the future. And that's not happening so far in that other wing.
This is a report in the National Journal. And it says, between his age and the political headwinds facing a consensus builder, Romney rationalized there may not have been a path for him after 2024. Romney said, do I want to spend 8 of the 12 years I have left sitting here and not getting anything done? He was also increasingly becoming disenchanted with the direction the party was heading. After 2022, he was well aware that more members like Senator Josh Hawley or Senator J.D. Vance were on their way. Romney also saw that he was deeply disliked in his home state. After a 2021 Utah Republican Party convention he spoke at, he quickly realized that he'd underestimated the level of vitriol awaiting him. The Utahns booed him off the stage. Romney said, there are deranged people among us, and in Utah, people carry guns. It only takes one really disturbed person. He said that to the Atlantic, apparently. In terms of the people who were running to fill his seat, they include Trent Staggs, who is a mayor of Riverton. He's been exploring running for months. The Utah House Speaker, Brad Wilson, whose Senate Exploratory Committee has already raised more than $2 million cash on hand. He's expected to get in the race any time now. The former Representative Jason Chaffetz, who has a presence on Fox TV, too, has floated the possibility of a run. Conservative activist Carolyn Phippen might jump into the race, too. And fresh off the campaign trail, a Utah 2nd District candidate, Becky Edwards, she was a candidate for Congress, she lost the primary. She could potentially make a move into the Senate primary. There's also the 3rd District Representative John Curtis from Utah might run. That all according to the National Journal. In terms of Mitt Romney and making any progress on real issues, he was there with the big summit meeting behind closed doors involving the tech titans, including Elon Musk, who is going to be meeting with the Israeli Prime Minister next week, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, and others. And what happened was that Elon Musk was talking to reporters, and he responded to a fairly off-the-wall question from a Fox reporter on Capitol Hill. This is clip 6.
AI gonna kill us all, Mr. Musk?
I hope not.
I think the government can protect us from artificial intelligence.
You should think of the future as a series of probabilities as opposed to certainties. There is some chance that above zero that AI will kill us all. I think it's low, but there's some chance. I think we should also consider the fragility of human civilization. And if you study history, I think you realize that there's a rise and fall to every civilization. Every civilization has a lifespan. So we want us to last as long as possible.
Well, maybe not the most encouraging answer, but then again, it's not an encouraging question when the reporter asked point blank, is AI going to kill us all? Coverage in the Wall Street Journal of the tech meeting, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and other technology heavyweights debated the possibilities and risks of artificial intelligence in a closed-door meeting with more than 60 U.S. senators who are contemplating legislation to regulate the technology. Musk, the CEO of Tesla and owner of X, formerly Twitter, warned about what he views as AI's potential to threaten humanity. We'll be right back with more on that and the real threat to America, the state of marriage. We'll get to that as well on the MedVed Show.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. President Biden at a campaign reception in Virginia addressed the Republican-led impeachment inquiry into him, saying he had a job to do, and said the Republicans want to first impeach him, but now they're doing it because they want to shut down the government. The United Auto Workers Union is prepared for a likely strike against Detroit's big three automakers. Retired director of the Institute for Labor Studies, Judy Ansel, discusses the possible effects.
It will cause a shortage of cars, and so if somebody wants to buy a car, it's going to be more difficult to do that. It's going to lower consumer spending as people tighten their belts.
The first trailer has been released for the upcoming documentary series House of Kardashian.
Kimberly calculated from the beginning, how do I become famous?
That's Caitlyn Jenner giving her take on Kim Kardashian for the new series. Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Entertain your brain.
Your show is very entertaining.
Every day on The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, Elon Musk dominated a lot of the conversation at this high-level talk involving 60 U.S. senators. That, of course, is a majority of the U.S. Senate. One of the comments that Elon Musk made is that no one backed off in saying we need government involvement. In other words, part of the concern that they talked about with reporters afterward is that a lot of these corporate heads of these big tech corporations are very worried about some corporation going rogue and doing things that are irresponsible with AI. And then what do the rest of the companies do? They have no way of controlling competitors. The government does. So a government role in this enterprise is potentially very important. Musk, the CEO of Tesla and owner of X, formerly Twitter, warned about what he views as AI's potential to threaten humanity. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates said the technology could help address world hunger. So said Senator Chuck Schumer, who was the one who convened Wednesday's session. Other speakers included Facebook founder Zuckerberg and the CEOs of Google, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and IBM, along with union leaders, civil rights advocates, and others. Schumer at one point asked the guests if they agreed that the government needed to play a role in regulating artificial intelligence. Everyone present raised their hands, Schumer said. No one backed off in saying we need government involvement. They understood that there needed to be government responsibility because, let's say, even these companies would be willing to install guardrails on themselves. Even if they do, they'll have competitors who won't. This is Elon Musk again talking to reporters in the parking lot. Clip 4.
That's the Department of AI. I think the probability of there being some sort of AI regulatory agency that stands on its own, similar to the FAA or FCC, is likely at some point.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay, a regulatory agency, as we have a regulatory agency, which, by the way, in balance has done just a magnificent job, the Federal Aviation Administration. I mean, what we've done bringing down the rate of mishaps involving air travel has been phenomenal. Meanwhile, there is one other problem in the United States, which gets very little attention, but it's a core problem to consequences that we have in education, in crime, in productivity at the workplace, in neighborhood deterioration. It's the problem of marriage, and there's a very powerful piece by Nicholas Kristof, who's been a guest on the show several times. But again, he's one of the very few liberals out there who will touch this issue. And this is a column everybody should read. He writes that American liberals have led the campaign to reduce child poverty since Franklin Roosevelt, and that's a proud legacy. But we have long had a blind spot. We are often reluctant to acknowledge one of the significant drivers of child poverty, the widespread breakdown of family, for fear that to do so would be patronizing or racist. It's an issue largely for working-class whites, blacks, and Hispanics, albeit most prevalent among African Americans. But just as you can't have a serious conversation about poverty without discussing race, you also can't engage unless you consider single-parent households. After all, families headed by single mothers are five times as likely to live in poverty as married couple families. Children in single mother homes are less likely to graduate from high school or earn a college degree. They are more likely to become single parents themselves, perpetuating the cycle. And almost 30% of American children now live with a single parent or with no parents at all. One reason for these sensitivities is large racial disparities. Single parenting is less common in white and Asian households, but only 38% of black children live with married parents. The data presents some uncomfortable realities, writes Melissa S. Kearney, who's an economist at the University of Maryland, in an important book on this topic to be published next week. Two-parent families are beneficial for children, she asked. She adds, places that have more two-parent families have higher rates of upward mobility. Not talking about these facts is counterproductive. And then Kristof points out that even today there is a deep discomfort in liberal circles about acknowledging these realities. A scholarly organization in the field published a call in 2021 to dismantle family privilege, such as championing two-parent families, which it warned was embedded in the white supremacist society. And while 91% of college-educated conservatives agree that children are better off if they have married parents, only 30% of college-educated liberals agree, according to a report to be released next week by the Institute for Family Studies. In fact, writes Nick Kristof, children simply do better on average in school and typically earn more in adulthood if they have married parents. And this is particularly true of boys. It doesn't seem to matter if the two parents are a mom and dad or a same-sex couple. One advantage of a two-parent family is simply a function of arithmetic. Two parents can earn two incomes, meaning less poverty. One stunning and depressing gauge of racial inequality in the United States, the study found that 62% of white children live in low-poverty areas with fathers present in most homes, while only 4% of black children do. The collapse of marriage has mostly happened among less educated Americans, including those who are white, black, or Hispanic, while many college graduates in the country embrace all kinds of family relationships. They remain traditional in their personal behaviors, mostly having children after marriage and raising their own kids in two-parent households. A Pew study of 130 countries found that American children were more likely to live with a single parent or no parent at all than those in any other nation. Isn't that heartbreaking? Why should that be? The breakdown of family, primarily among the low-income Americans, may be uncomfortable to talk about, but it is part of the apparent apparatus of inequality in the United States. It doesn't help when we avert our eyes, ignore the data, and deny the existence of two-parent privilege. A gutsy column. There's also another piece from Pew Research that headlines, "Most Brides Still Take Their Husband's Name." I was surprised at this. The bridal tradition of taking a husband's name remains strong. Among women in opposite-sex marriages in the United States, 4 in 5, in other words, 80%, changed their names, according to a new survey by Pew Research Center. 14% kept their own last names, the survey found. Hyphenated last names were much less common. Only about 5% of couples across age groups took that approach. And less than 1% said they did something different, like creating a brand new last name. Is that a healthy sign? It seems to me, when you put that together with the information from Nick Kristof, yeah, it's healthy and encouraging. We will be right back on the MedVet Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVet Show.
You know how the line to the song goes, it's summertime and the living is easy. Well, it's not so easy, it's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily. And it's entirely natural. It's extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Behave himself. You can't reason with him. He's opinionated, and you can't tell him that he's wrong.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Well, you can tell me that I'm wrong. Just be prepared for me to answer back and to defend my rectitude, my correct approach to whatever the issue happens to be. Right now, I'm talking about that issue about brides maintaining their own last names. And I understand the impulse to do that. I mean, again, with our married daughter, she has taken her husband's name. And partially not because she's embarrassed by the name Medved, thank goodness she's not. Not because it's such a complicated name. I mean, she has a complicated last name now as a married lady, but because she has two kids. And one of the ideas that helps little people, and we have a 2-year-old grandson, we have a 1-year-old granddaughter, and so you're conscious of little people, and the idea of people being tied together with the same name is part of that idea of family that helps to provide a sense of security. And one of the things that happens, and I do think it's something they don't address in this Pew study, but maybe they should, is I think it is fairly common for some high-powered couples. I'm thinking about one couple in particular that we know very, very well from the time that they were married. Actually from before when they were married, and they both maintained their last names because they had very strong careers in Hollywood. And what happened is they started having kids. And they ended up with 5 of them. And right now there is a tremendous number of grandchildren, like 15. And it's sort of the tendency for the mother to keep her own last name, it just stopped. It just, the family grew out of it and progressed out of it. And I do think that given the fact that 20, 30 years ago, that there was so much emphasis on hyphenated names or new last names or couples, long-term couples with separate last names, the fact that that has subsided and that you have only among Hispanic people do you have more of a tradition of keeping your own name. And they make the point that that's true in Hispanic culture in a lot of countries. The president of Mexico has a hyphenated last name. He's Andres Manuel López Obrador. And so that is a much more common situation. And Hillary Rodham, who I knew in law school, she started out when she was First Lady of Arkansas. She started out, she was Hillary Rodham, married to Bill Clinton. And then he lost the election, his re-election campaign for governor. And one of the things that they found out through the polling is people didn't like the fact that the First Lady of Arkansas used to be named Hillary Rodham. And so then she became Hillary Rodham Clinton, and eventually she started baking cookies. And proceeded with her her career. Speaking of proceeding with her career, there's a question that Speaker McCarthy received from a reporter today. And this goes to the really crucial issue of the forthcoming impeachment, which just got more complicated a little bit because of the indictments, three of them, that were filed today, handed up by the grand jury that's looking at Hunter Biden. Here was a question to Speaker McCarthy from a reporter and his response. Listen.
Congressman Issa said, came out and said that, that both Chairman Jordan and Comer were not able to present anything that was an impeachable offense at this point. Is that an assessment that you share?
You know, an impeachment inquiry is not impeachment. So what impeachment inquiry is to do is to get answers to questions. Are you concerned about all the stuff that was just recently learned? Do you have any concern? Have you asked the White House any questions? Okay. Do you agree that, do you believe the president lied to the American public when he said he'd never talked to his son about business dealings? Yes or no? It's all right. You can't answer that?
Okay, and then McCarthy continues this line of questioning toward the reporter, and legitimate questions detailing the accusations that are out there about Hunter and Joe Biden. However, when you come to specific points of impeachment, and a number of columnists in left and right have made this point, what they need is something like a blue dress. There is evidence here that involves specific charges of obstruction and perjury, which is what they impeached Bill Clinton on.
Just stop it.
So what are the specific charges against Joe Biden? Here again is Speaker McCarthy.
Do you believe when they said the president went on conference calls? Do you believe that happened?
That's what the testimony
said. Okay. Do you believe the president went to Cafe Milano and had dinner with the clients of Hunter Biden, who believes he got those clients because he was selling the brand? Okay. Do you believe Hunter Biden, when you saw the video of him driving a Porsche, that he got $143,000 to buy that Porsche the next day? Do you believe the $3 million from the Russian oligarch that was transferred to the shell companies that the Bidens controlled after the dinner from Cafe Milano took place? Okay, then I go back. Do you think the president lied that he, when he said...
an impeachable is lying and impeachable.
Well, you want to know... I'm not saying impeachment. All I'm saying is I would like to know, answer these questions. The American public ought to know, and that's what impeachment inquiry provides.
Okay, the idea that with three House committees already looking, with a whole staff of investigators for each of those committees, it's from Ways and Means and the Judiciary Committee and the House Oversight Committee. They have all been looking at Joe Biden, the relationship with Hunter Biden. And if nothing else, this is deeply embarrassing and damaging to Joe Biden and sort of his image that he's been trying to project of wholesomeness and ordinary guyness, and like he's the neighbor that you have in the suburb somewhere. That whole idea is under fire right now. And McCarthy is under fire as well, which is another problem. But one of the problems here comes to crime and punishment, even at a very much lower level. There's a story that says that a parent of a Jefferson County, Alabama student was suspended, who was suspended earlier, the student, not the parent, for pretending his finger was a gun in a game of cops and robbers. The father says, "I was really shocked that this happened in Alabama," said Jared Belcher, whose son attends Bagley Elementary School in the metropolis of Dora, Alabama. Nice small town. "I wouldn't have been half surprised if this had happened in, say, California or New York, but I never would have expected this to happen here," Belcher said. Administrators at the school called him on Friday to tell him his six-year-old first grader was suspended. I asked her, "Can you tell me why?" And she just said, "He was using a finger gun," Belcher explained. And then I thought, there's got to be more to it than this. After arriving at the school, he and his wife met with assistant principal Donna Page, who once again told them their son got in trouble because he and another boy were playing and they used their index fingers as make-believe guns. "Was he hurting anyone?" Belcher asked. "Was there any violence or physical contact?" "No, there was no hostility." "No, there was no indication of a current or future threat." She said, "No, there wasn't." I said, "It just kind of sounds like two boys playing cops and robbers." And she said, "That's what it was. They were playing." Belcher said his son has never had any disciplinary problem in the past. "This happened one time, and this went 0 to 100, he added. "I told her in the meeting, I'm not going to punish him for this," Belcher added. "In fact, when we're leaving, I'm taking him for ice cream." According to Belcher, school officials issued his son a Class 3 violation, the most severe disciplinary infraction category in Jefferson County schools. County schools on Friday got an attorney's letter demanding the school remove any record of a criminal infraction from Belcher's son's record. That seems like justice to me in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Discover Tuscany in California at Allegretto Vineyard Resort by Ayers. Located halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, Allegretto Vineyard Resort is nestled in the heart of Paso Robles wine country and evokes the character and charm of an Italian estate. Voted as one of the best wine country hotels by USA Today, indulge in memorable experiences as you tilt back a glass of award-winning Allegretto wines. Savor a locally farmed and foraged cuisine at Cello Restaurante and Bar while enjoying soothing spa treatments from the boutique spa Allegretto. Experience the handcrafted joy today with rates starting at $209 per night, Sunday through Thursday stays throughout the month of August. Use promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. Book your Tuscan-inspired getaway today with promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. AllegrettoResort.com.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.